This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
ESPN.
I'm a rock the boat, work the middle till it hurts a little.
I feel it. Your love is fading. I feel it.
Fucking with a real.
John mentioned Teyana Taylor earlier. We'll get to all that. That's what Brad's playing there, a little fade action. Oof. She's in that video. We'll talk about the significance of her today. John just mentioned it. Let's get into the rundown.
Now, it's the rundown presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
NBA. I wish the Grizzlies were still in it, but it is moving on without them.
Well, they're still in the NBA. You just have the playoffs.
No, I left off the word playoffs.
They didn't get exiled from the island.
No, I think that's pretty obvious. Suns take a 1-0 lead over Denver, win 122-105 last night. The story of that game was Chris Paul and him taking over in the fourth quarter. It was Chris Paul that was supposed to be injured. Was supposed to have a shoulder injury and had not looked right. In the first round at times. He looked right last night. He had 21 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds. It was Chris Paul really at his best. And closing out that Denver team that John mentioned earlier, doesn't have Jamal Murray. Will Barton, I guess, close to returning, but not back yet. You see, was it Michael Porter Jr. got dunked on yesterday?
Yep.
DeAndre Ayton, man.
That was vicious.
That young man has turned into a stud very quickly.
Yep.
It's not just Devin Booker and Chris Paul. DeAndre Ayton is it. I thought for my money matched up with Nikola Jokic pretty well last night. That series could go. Denver could come right back, win game two, and you could be looking at this thing as again at some point, depending upon Chris Paul's health, could be looking at this thing again in a couple of games and saying, okay, Denver looks like the favorite now. So I'm not ready to say my Phoenix Suns are on through based on last night's win, but they looked awfully good. And if Chris Paul is going to be that close to healthy, they're going to be tough to beat, especially with Ayton playing the way he is. The more interesting one, and John's right on this, is the Nets. They are now up 2-0 on the Bucks, and last night it looked easy without James Harden, 125-86. Giannis Antetokounmpo, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about, maybe it was like just as recently as last week, we were talking about LeBron and sort of where he's at now, and John was having a hard time with the fact that LeBron's no longer the best player in the league. And I think that there was evidence of that. Like when it was go time, even without his big guy and Anthony Davis, LeBron couldn't quite be the LeBron of old. We didn't get one of those 45-point performances, you know what I'm saying, to attempt to save them. So my whole thing was, well, John, you got to come to grips with, frankly, that Giannis Antetokounmpo, probably best player in the league. And look, you're coming off with Giannis, you're talking about an MVP defensive player of the year, right? You look at him and you say, you can see it. You could see why I was so quick to jump to Giannis. But if you look at his, you can't be the best player in the league shooting 53.5% from the free throw line in the postseason. I'm just sorry. I think I was premature. And one of the reasons why is because at that time, man, it looked like Kawhi Leonard might be on the ropes. And we were saying this with the Dylan Brooks conversation, too, that who's playing better both ways? Well, Kawhi Leonard showed against Dallas. He can still do it when he needs to.
That's right.
That was the key. And so because he can go both ways and still an elite level, I have to apologize to Kawhi because, well, number one, He does the simple stuff.
Yep.
The stuff that Giannis can't get done right now, and that starts at the free throw line, but really anything outside the paint. But number two is because Kawhi, when it's go time, he not only do they need it from him, he goes and gets it. He'll go cover Luka Doncic. You know those things? We saw Giannis last year, your defensive player of the year, but you're not on Jimmy Butler at all times. They beat you, come back. Now, you looked better this year, but a lot of that's because of Jrue Holiday, John. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Giannis wants it defensively in the same way that Kawhi, when he has to, will go get it. All right, set that to the side, because who is better than Kawhi Leonard? If that's still Kawhi, two-time NBA, is there anybody better?
I mean, KD.
I know you're probably holding on to LeBron a little bit in that conversation.
I mean, you would argue KD. That's what the argument would be.
Okay, I don't think he can have the same impact defensively.
But KD is...
And Kawhi just went for 40-something in Game 6,
You
John.
Would say Kevin Durant is a better player offensively.
Well, he's an assassin offensively. Yes, I would say that. But I would tell you Kawhi clearly a more clear-cut, better defender in terms of both ends, probably still gets it done. I don't know. You can make the argument if you want to. I'm rolling with Kawhi right now. Mm-hmm. But back to the Nets. Giannis has pretty much not been able to do anything outside the paint, whereas Durant and Kyrie Irving, Durant 32 points last night in three quarters. Kyrie looked like he was playing around, just taking some pull-up jumpers on the break, kind of whatever he wanted. He finished with 22. Bruce Brown had 13 and 6. He's mm-hmm. replacing James Harden right now, but they really didn't need any kind of James Harden-ish stuff from him, just a normal pedestrian game. And they are absolutely rolling. They led by as many as 49 in that game in their most lopsided playoff win ever, according to ESPN, and held the NBA's highest-scoring team 34 points below its season average in Milwaukee. The funny thing was, when they put this Nets team together, all the conversations were, okay, offensively looks great. How are they going to stop anybody? And you could say some of this is the Bucks sort of stopping themselves. Middleton hadn't been the guy the smooth guy you usually see in the regular season. He struggled a little bit. Got back on toward the end of last night, but he struggled. But 34 points below your season average? Some defense out there being played.
Yep.
It's not just a couple of stars saying, okay, well, we're here, now lay down. They're getting some good contributions from just about everybody. Joe Harris was hitting threes last night. And like we said, they're doing it defensively as well. So Nets look good. I'm not going to say this thing's over, though, until I see them go to Milwaukee and take one. I mean, that's the key right now. All the Nets have done is hold serve and do what they're supposed to do, frankly. Been lopsided.
Right.
And yes, I've been surprised, especially with a Bucks team that just ran through Miami. I mean, looked like a team on a mission. They've looked like anything but that so far against the Nets. You looking at this thing, you feel like it's over?
Yes.
You got to wait. We said the same thing with Dallas and the Clippers, right? Didn't we learn our lesson in the first round?
They lost by 60. I mean, come on. Yes, it's over. Well, Harden comes back. I mean, it's not even a question.
Again, it's the highest scoring team in the playoffs. The Nets haven't solved everything on D. You get back to Milwaukee.
But see, this
Milwaukee,
is what Milwaukee does. This is what Milwaukee does.
That's very true.
They shrink. They
I hope
shrink.
You're right. I hope you're right.
I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, I like Giannis a lot. I think he's a great dude. I enjoy hearing him talk about the game. He's a stand-up guy. You know, I wish things were different. But he every single time he's gotten to this point, they went out and they got Jrue Holiday, and everybody was talking about in the regular season how much better he's made the Bucks. And here we are again, when it matters the most, they are shrinking from the moment, and they are on the cusp of losing this series in five games.
I mean, it was a pedestrian. It was 18-11 for Giannis, and you guys know that's pedestrian for him. A lot for the average man. Chris Middleton goes 7 of 20. He has not shot the ball well all series, at least so far. You know, Jrue Holiday, 13, not one of his better games, 13-3. But I go back to your point. You talk about folding up and sort of it really starts with Giannis.
Yep.
I mean, that's the thing about it. When you're a star and you've been given all the accolade, defense player of the year, you MVP, like, you have to take it to the next level. For whatever reason, they have not been able to do that yet. P.J. Tucker ain't doing much either there, starting now, I guess, with DiVincenzo out. He had just 2 points there. We talked about sort of the grit that he brought when they brought him on, but didn't really help them last night. And again, as for the Nets, I mean, they're getting contributions from everybody. Blake Griffin's dunking on people again. Looked like he saved some energy. coming off of out of Detroit. My goodness. He's got plenty left in the tank, it looks like, when you're watching him. He's dunking on people again. Did that last night. We mentioned KD's 32. Joe Harris goes 3 of 7 from 3. They're getting something from just about everybody, including Mike James. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're in a Nets jersey, you were rolling against the Bucks last night. So that one's going back to Milwaukee. We'll see if it looks the same there. I still have some hope that Milwaukee's going to at least make this thing a series. But again, KD looks like he is on an absolute tear right now. Tonight, you've got Hawks 76ers. That's the 6:30 game. Remember, that's game 2. Hawks took game 1. Trae Young going over 30 in that one, had 25 at the half. John expects Philly to bounce back and win this thing in 5 games, I believe you said yesterday?
Yes.
5 games.
Yes, because
they're
going
to win the next 4.
Yes, I do. I believe that. Because I do not believe...
That's why I wanted that on the record.
I do not believe the Hawks can continue to shoot the ball as historically well as they shot it, especially in game 1.
And I don't think the Sixers are going to get more than 39 points from Embiid that they got in the first game. You're right. They dug themselves a huge hole and came back from that. But the Hawks did it without DeAndre Hunter. I mean, it's not like they're at full strength either. And just had a great first half by Trae Young, got him down, then held him off. Look, this Hawks team, what we know is they're gaining confidence with each win. I think by the time... Yes, they're going to lose tonight. Philly's a 6-point favorite. I mean, it's hard to see Philly losing both games at home, but I don't see a Hawks team that's going to lay down when it gets back to Atlanta. I like this. This series is going to be competitive, and I still like the Hawks. I give them the edge, especially when we know that Embiid is dealing with a meniscus tear, even as small as it is, that at some point, you know, you just wonder, okay, how hard can he go? He certainly can't be better than 39 points. You wouldn't think that he was in game 1. They still lost. We'll see. I like what Trae Young has done for the Hawks. And then the nightcap tonight, you got Clippers and Jazz. The first of that one, Clippers don't get much time off here after taking care of Dallas on Sunday. That might end up being a good thing. Because the Jazz have had some time off, and we've seen where those layoffs have a tendency. They can't hurt you. Certainly did for the Jazz in game 1 against the Grizzlies. Obviously not having Donovan Mitchell was a big part of that as well. Clippers, Jazz, I mentioned it earlier. I have a hard time right now with the Clippers as the 4 seed, not saying they're the favorites in the West.
Yeah.
Even though they struggled with Dallas, got done. You saw Kawhi turn it on when he needed to. He couldn't do that in the bubble last year. I think Kawhi sees an opportunity. LeBron is gone. I mean, especially if AD could have gotten healthier. You look at them as one of the key threats if you're Kawhi. I don't see how you look at, if you're Kawhi, how you look at the Jazz or Denver or Phoenix and saying those teams are going to beat me, a 2-time MVP who's been through the wars before. They're the 4 seed, but to me it feels like they're the favorite. Now, Utah may make me look bad tonight.
Yep.
They're a 4-point favorite, but I love where the Clippers are sitting right now as they open up their second-round matchup against the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, I mean, I saw this tweet yesterday. It is kind of amazing to consider that there are several teams that are still on the field that have never won a championship, and there are several teams in this field who have not won one since the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and 80s. I think 83 is the most recent championship winner among the playoff teams left.
Is that Philly?
I think. I don't have it in front of me. But that is the amazing thing about these playoffs.
The Bucks goes back to Kareem.
Yeah. Is that we're going to have a new-to-us champion. You know, gone are the days of it's going to be Golden State or LeBron every single year, right? Mm-hmm. Gone are for this particular year. We're going to get a champion that is new. And I'll be interested to see, like, what does this mean
Philly, 83.
What does this mean for ratings? You know, does this equal, you know, because we lost Dame Lillard and LeBron James in the same night. And I know that, you know, it's great to have new teams, but you hate to, if you're in the NBA, you hate to lose superstars. And that is the one thing about these playoffs is, like, there are a lot of really, 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 really good players and stars in their own right. But Kawhi Leonard is not a guy who people tune in to watch necessarily. You know, he does his job. He's one of the best in the world. But he doesn't have a flashy game, right? He's not a great, you know, in terms of his marketing. Like, he's not Dame Lillard in that sense, right? You know, Giannis, he's a big name, but he never gets it done in the playoffs, you know? So I think that is going to be an interesting – does it mean better ratings because people like to see the freshness, the newness, or does it mean worse ratings because, you know, A, you're losing the fan base of LeBron, you know, and people just don't care. That I will be fascinated to see how that translates.
I'm interested to see that. I would love to sit here and say Phoenix looks like the favorite to me. Maybe we're disrespecting Utah. Again, it was the Grizzlies' first time in. You sort of did what you're supposed to do. I want to see how that holds up against those big wings of the Clippers. But like I said, I'd have a hard time picking anybody in the West right now other than the Clippers in terms of and wouldn't Clippers-Nets be the best matchup?
Left, yeah, probably.
You want to see the Nets destroy one of these young teams? And I consider Utah still relatively that.
I mean, I would enjoy Utah.
You're led
Nets.
By a young man in Donovan Mitchell.
I like the
now,
way Utah plays.
Vets.
I like the way they play basketball. I think they play really good basketball.
Yeah, but does it have the star power? It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
You want to see Kawhi versus KD at
this point,
I would
like
point,
to see, look,
you?
I mean, at this point, would you because, not like to see Mike get in the finals? That would be awesome.
I could do without it.
Okay.
I mean, I already Damn. Gave him his salute, bro.
Damn, dog.
That you got on me for. And now I got to give him a finals appearance, too, that, oh, we're going to be feeling so good for Mike here in Memphis.
First All-Star game.
Why are you
first
the one
finals appearance.
You know? It'd be great if it happens.
Enough time has passed, Jason.
But I'm trying to sell you an NBA finals and how – you talk about folding up in the moment that Giannis is doing. That's what Kawhi doesn't do.
Well, I think like, I think the Nets would handle the Clippers.
Well, I'm Nets won't handle Utah, who has not been to a finals with this group of guys. Mike Conley going to be the difference against the Nets? No.
I mean, they play really good basketball. That's all I'm saying.
That's the answer. Go ahead. Root for Utah, man. Give it all to Mike Conley. Man, God on me for saluting Mike Conley after he played one of his best games.
The Utah fans made it right with Ja and his family. They made it right, you know.
You and T can go root for sit together and root for them then.
Did you see what T told Donovan Mitchell?
Yes, he wants them to win. I get that, and I respect it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say
great
best
moment.
Finals that you got left. I'm telling you right now, it's still Clippers and Nets. I don't want to see one of these.
I mean,
young
you're probably
teams,
right.
One
I
of
mean,
these
just
young
in terms
teams,
of
the Nets run through right. one of these young teams. Never
no,
been
the
at
Jazz
this point
are
before.
The Jazz are Spurs-esque.
Chris
right?
Paul ain't gonna make enough of a difference against the Nets.
Right. No doubt.
Not against those two, and especially if they got James Harden coming back.
Agreed.
And if they can beat the Bucks and get James Harden healthy at the same time, I think the only chance. For a decent series, it feels like to me is the Clippers. Just because you got a man who's been there and done that and can take over on both ends in Kawhi Leonard. So anyway, I'm rooting for that one. John's rooting for Jazz Nets for whatever reason. Mike Conley, mm-hmm. Yes, we salute you again.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens.
But this is my first time
tonight
this is
again.
Second.
Hawks 76ers. Philly a 6-point favorite. Last I looked, after that it's Clippers Jazz. The Utah Jazz game one in that one. Utah a 4-point favorite.
Next story.
All right, so saw this on Twitter today, and I thought it was an interesting story that I wanted to bring to the show. Maxim, every year since 2000, has released their Maxim Hot 100, and then they crown a winner, and therefore, you know, the winner is sexiest woman alive, right? So in the past, you know, you've had Katy Perry, you have had Miley Cyrus, you have had Taylor Swift, you have had Kate Upton. You know, these are a few.
Shut my mouth.
These are a few of the winners. And today, the winner of the 2021 Sexiest Woman Alive for Maxim was Teyana Taylor. She is the first black woman to be named Sexiest Woman Alive by Maxim. She is married to, of course, Iman Shumpert.
Okay, they're married. Good.
Who I don't think is in the league anymore. Is he still in the NBA?
No, Brad and I discussed that off the air. We do not believe he's still in the league.
Yeah. He last played for the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, he had a long career. He got paid,
well,
whatever.
Shumpert was
I'm
fine.
Sure they're doing fine. He won a title in 2016
well,
with
she's,
the cash.
She's the one that's got the money now.
Yeah.
Seems like to me.
So she has earned the crown of Sexiest Woman Alive. Now, keep in mind, Rihanna has never won this. Okay?
What?
Rihanna has never won this. You don't think Rihanna is in consideration in the running for Sexiest Woman?
No, I can't believe she's never won it. Never won this.
Well,
Tiana has the first black woman. This is Maxim's award,
yes.
Right? Doesn't People do one of these for men? Or
I think
doesn't
so.
It do women too? Okay.
I think People does the sexiest okay. man alive.
Yes. It was like John Legend, which was weird.
Yeah. And then the Rock one, Once Upon a Time. I remember that one.
I mean, the Rock's got muscles, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Legend kind of like a roll of toilet paper.
I mean, really?
Just soft and squishy.
You think John Legend is a roll of toilet paper?
Well, it's like soft. I mean, soft and kind of like the Charmin. You know what I'm saying? You would, you know.
You mean like
if I'm a woman, I want to cuddle with him, but it's not like, you know, he's gonna,
he's kind of an average built guy, right?
Yeah. And it just feels like, you know, and Lord knows I can't speak. I got my stomach bigger than my chest is. But I'm just saying that one didn't. John Legend is cute. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Cute dude.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like to me more so than. I don't look at that man, and I certainly don't catch my wife looking at him and say, oh, that man's sexy.
Because we know you're checking.
I don't get that vibe from
him.
For who Faith looks at like that. Yeah, I do occasionally. Because Lord knows she's checking for me. I can't be watching Beyonce, mouth wide open, tongue hanging out, without her saying something. So how come I'm not going to check for her if I catch her looking at some dude with some lust?
Yeah. So Michael B. Jordan was the winner of 2020. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Makes all sense in the world. Dude, buff.
Yeah, but this is not about... and also, I would say, buffness does not necessarily... It's not the only measure of sexiness,
I think it's sexy. You just can't be like a roll of toilet paper. You know what I'm saying? You can't just be squishy and charming.
I mean, I feel where you're coming from. I feel where you're coming from. I definitely do feel where you're coming from.
That's why I'll never be sexy as anything. I don't have any of that going for me, and I'm happy to hold up my hand.
Faith has called you sexy in the past.
It was.
Okay.
At one point.
I got you. Back in your day when you were lifting like D-Bane.
Never did that. Didn't have to. It was God-given.
Okay, Teyana Taylor, are we in favor of this decision?
I have a hard time with this.
I mean, not that she's not obviously a beautiful woman, right? I mean, it's just like, is she the sexiest woman alive?
I have a hard time with this, John, because I remember Teyana Taylor in my Super Sweet 16 on MTV. You ever watch that show?
She was on that?
There was a Memphis girl at one point. I think she was from, had 3-6 on that thing. White girl.
I can't remember that.
But in that same show, which we used to watch for some reason, like religiously, just because, I mean, they had a nice little run there for a while. I'm pretty sure Teyana Taylor was on there. And, oh, it was, you know, again, you're talking about a girl. So I have a hard time because it's that Teyana Taylor I still remember. You know what I'm saying? Because have you seen the Fade video, which I believe is a Kanye song that Brad was playing earlier?
Yep.
Like, I have a hard time.
Well, you got to get over that, brother. She's a grown woman now.
Wrecked that it's the same.
But
it's,
it is.
It's my little pretty sweet girl in my Super Sweet 16. And now it's, you know, look at Brad's face. Lust is what it is now.
Whoa.
Brad looking at the video. And see, that, I mean, I can't describe it a better way than what Brad's face just said. Like, it's 180 type stuff. And you're right, John. I mean, folks grow up. They become adults. But that's why I'm having a harder time with this. I'm happy she's the first black woman. Maxim's named Sexiest Woman of the Year, all that for.
I mean, there's
But, you know, I'm going to stick with my wife on this one.
There you go.
Yeah, your
who
wife.
Who I've only known as a woman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, I understand. I get it. I mean, I don't know because you could go cliche, right? You could go Beyonce. You could go, you know, Rihanna.
I could have done that. I stick with my wife.
But we know,
I'm telling you right now,
but we know that's not really how you feel, though. Like, that's the problem. It's like, we know that there's...
No, it is absolutely how I feel. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I mean, realistically, like, there are women that you would absolutely request a hall pass for. And I know...
I'm not going to do that.
In your Christian identity.
I'm not going to do that.
In your Christian identity, you would not do that.
You feel the need to do that. You feel the need to let the people know who that is for you.
So you
go right ahead, even though I'm telling you.
So you abstain.
I just told you, my wife. That's literally my pick.
So Faith Cuevas-Smith would be on the cover of
Maxim. She's in my arena. She's in my arena. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I understand that.
Hell yeah, Faith could be on the cover of Maxim.
What are you, in the doghouse or something, man?
No, bro. No. Let me tell you something. And I'm proud of my wife for this. She now makes these chains that women wear around their bellies.
Yeah,
you know,
I've seen
around
those.
Their hips and
I've seen those.
She's making those. I almost said her age. She doesn't like when I do that.
Well, you started it. So but people understand now. You really blew it.
I see my wife in those chains now.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell y'all the feelings come over me because it wouldn't be suitable for radio. But I'm just telling you, here's the point. Proud of her. Because she could do that when I first met her.
Yep.
Right? And she can still do it now. What are we going on here? 13 years?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm asking you like you should know what we're going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be 13. And so, yes, man, I'm sexy, my wife. And I'm done with it. You go ahead, Mr. Hall Pass. You do it.
I mean, as you know, for me... You know, y'all just criticize all my selections. But, you know, I think Rihanna certainly deserves some consideration. And it's impossible to talk about this without sort of sounding like kind of an old creep, isn't it? Like, it's sort of...
When you do it, it does.
Yeah, like, it's hard to... You know, I'm a dad now. Like, it's just kind of weird. You know what I'm saying? But...
See, that's my thing. That's why it's a conversation you're going to have to come to grips with.
Mm-hmm.
But that's that story I was telling you about Tiana.
Yeah.
And you see her as your
that's right.
Tiana, 16.
That's right.
That's right. One day, Riley. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And you're going to have a hard time with that.
Well, she's still going to be my daughter, though. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but you know,
2 years old, 22 years old. You know, she's never going to not be my daughter.
Still going to be your baby, though.
Oh,
still
yeah.
Still going to be your baby.
Course.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
And
absolutely.
So you're going to have to, that's what I'm saying. What about if she wants to go out in some skinny jeans or some tight pants?
I mean, I'll be honest with you, man. You know, whatever Sam believes is right. On this situation.
No, I'm going to need you to have some say-so
in this. I'm not a woman.
I'm going to need you to have some say-so in this.
I'm not a woman.
What about the book Ren sent you? You can't just be, oh, it's all your call, right? Your standards are going to matter. You got to lay the law down.
In terms of what she can wear, how am I in a position to
tell her? There's got to be some standards, doesn't
there? Of course.
You're not going to go out
and you're going to wear, you know, nothing. You know what I'm saying? But like, oh, you can't wear that shirt or you can't wear that.
No, you don't say it. You say, honey, let's come in here. Let's have a little talk, you know, about that cleavage that's showing. You know what I'm saying?
But these are conversations that I can't even begin to contemplate.
What are you talking about, dude? That's why we sent you the book. That's why Ren sent you the book.
Yeah, I know, but she's
this is going to happen before you know it. My whole point is this. It's not, John, you gotta have the hammer ready to hammer when she's about to leave out of the house.
Yeah.
It's that I need you to have a foot in that.
Well, of course.
I need you to be one of the ones that sets the standard.
Yeah, no, I am not going to be the dad that is just getting run over. I mean, that's just not how it's going to be.
That's what we want to hear.
You know, I mean that, and I, because I know in the end, like I know, I think I know what's best. You know, I think I know what's right, but I think there are also specific topics and issues where I will have to defer to my wife because my wife was born into this world and grew up a woman.
Remember, girls going
and I
wild.
Did not.
Remember, girls gone wild.
That doesn't even exist anymore. And no, who watched that?
You don't want your child on Girls Gone Wild, do you?
I mean, of course not.
No,
you don't want your.
That's why I need you to be all the way involved, not just 1 foot in, 2 feet.
But is
in.
There not also a fine line too between
dad can have as much to do with that as mom does?
I agree, and I will. But
it didn't sound like you agreed at first when we first started this.
But
conversation,
I'm just saying,
I'm out of it. That's it.
Well, there are specific issues that only a
you don't
woman,
want your daughter on girls.
Just like there are specific issues with CJ that really only you can have a legitimate conversation with him about. Faith can offer input. Faith can say, you know, advice.
No,
but in
see,
the end,
Faith gonna lead the conversation. It's gonna be this. Don't go out there and get some girl pregnant. Now she's gonna be just as involved in that as I am. Again, we're talking about standards, and it's better. Here's my own point. It's better when it's coming from two, right? And I ain't talking about single parents and all that. I'm talking about having that double input and pouring in. It's better when it's coming from two. So I need you just as involved in that.
Yeah, but there's also a fine line, too, between, you know, sheltering and also sort of letting a child make their decisions and letting them learn from their decisions and knowing and experiencing that the decisions that you make come with consequences rather than me making them for you. Would you agree?
Yes. But again, you're making that sound like I'm saying that you got to make her a nun.
I mean, that's kind of how you sound.
That's not what I'm saying, Brad. John, that's not what I'm saying. No, it is not how I sound at all. I think I've laid out my case pretty well here. At first, you're like, that's really not my area. No, I need it to be your area because as your standards in terms of her and attracting the right man going to matter just as much to her as what your wife pours into her and says, honey, this is what we, as women, this is what we, I think it's going to matter just as much. You and you laying that down is going to matter when it comes to her picking her man and all that kind of stuff, John. You got standards? Well, her man's going to have some standards. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to picking him, you got to be in there. You got, dude, you ain't got to start tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, quit acting like this is all work, like I'm scaring you to death here with something. This ain't going to start tomorrow. She's a little baby, John. I just saw the picture.
Yes.
But get your mind right now, because I can tell it ain't ready.
Well, I mean, it's not ready. Just like I wasn't ready to bring a child. And like, you're never ready until you cross the Rubicon. You know, you just do it. You just learn. You just change a diaper. You know, I didn't practice on a doll. You just change a diaper. You just rock them to sleep. You just let them spit up on you. You know, there's nothing that can mentally prepare you for those moments. You just you experience them, and you hope that the next time it happens, you're a little bit more equipped to handle it. But I'm still trying to learn. You know, all right, we go this bottle takes 2.5 scoops. You know, this bottle takes 1.5. I'm not ready to have the conversation about. And you don't even know what world we're gonna live in 16 years. Think about 16 years ago. Think about the things that we go through, and it's just accepted today.
The social media, the bullying is what scares me as a kid. As some watching these kids have to grow up in this stuff now, that you can't just leave it at school. Like, it can come back and follow you in real talk.
Yeah.
And this is getting way down the road. But, like, you're seeing kids so affected by this stuff that they're committing suicide now.
No doubt.
All that. Like, it's at a new level. So, believe me, I roll with your point on what's it going to be like 13 years from now in terms of the challenges facing.
Well, 16 years, bro.
16 years,
she's 13
months
years,
old. 16 years. Yeah.
You keep trying to fast forward. You're like Brad and the Grizzlies, man. You know, you just got to let it happen. You just got
to
let it.
I ain't trying to fast forward. I need your mind right, though. I need your mind right.
No, my mind is totally right. But again,
that's what I'm saying. And you got a daughter, so the way we talk about women and sexy and all that, you're going to have the different perspective.
Well,
on
it's
that.
Okay and for a woman to be sexy, though. It's totally, it's great. It's empowering to be named the sexiest woman alive.
Don't be sexy on Girls Gone Wild.
It's not like
that's not the right kind of sexy.
It's not like the
that's
title
not the
was
right kind of sexy.
Biggest whore of the year, right? It was sexiest woman of the year.
Yeah, nobody's talking about whores.
I'm just saying, like, there is a.
Why did John have to use that term?
Just jump right in there.
It's an honor to be named the sexiest woman alive. Just like it's an honor to be named the sexiest man alive. Now you
depends on
unless
who
it's
by.
John Legend.
It
John Legend should be ashamed. Apparently,
it
that
depends
he was
on
named.
Who you're getting that sexiest tab from, right? Because if it's the frat house, you know, you don't want that. If it's from People or Maxim, I suppose it's something that as a father you can be proud of.
Do this. Take Sam. Take Sam for example, right? Sam was never in those circles, you know. Sam never did that life, you know. So typically, you would hope that your daughter ends up living a life like her mom, you know, because that's who's raising her. Certainly, it doesn't have to go that way, but that is the hope. And so, I feel very confident in terms of a role model that my daughter has. Mm-hmm. Sam is the best, you know. And I will again
defer to her, yes, but you will be involved.
Yeah, because
there's no other way to say
you want me to be the alpha and the omega in this situation.
No. I said if she's coming down the stairs, she got some hot pants on, stop her and
hot
talk to her,
pants.
John, before she go out there. That's
well,
all I'm
how
saying.
How would I even know what hot
you know,
pants
thong,
look like?
Thong showing above the waistband and stuff. I'm going to
people
have
it dressed like
I'm
that.
I'm going to need you to have a talk with
since
her, bro.
2001.
No, it's been more recent than that, but I ain't been out the game that long.
You really have. That's what you are exposing right now.
I ain't see plenty of thong all these women all the time.
Where do you see thong?
Above the hip, fool, above the waistline.
Lita.
And I don't want to see it.
That was how Lita dressed.
That's what, if I'm a father, I don't want to see it.
In 2001. Well, I agree. I'm going to say, you're not going out like that, of course. That's obvious. I'm not going to wait to hear what Sam
doesn't
thinks
sound like it. Sound like
about
you.
It.
Sam, say bye-bye.
You know, I'm going to ensure to the best of my ability that my daughter is carrying herself with class, right? I'm going to ensure that happens. But, there are nuances to this conversation, you know what I'm saying, that I think in some situations you let Sam handle. That's all. And again, if she needs me to tag in, I will tag in as necessary. But I trust my wife, you know, to be the best mom, the best role model for our daughter that she could possibly be. And I think you need to apologize to John Legend for the words that you said.
Oh, he knows how I feel about him. He knows he
shouldn't
have been on that list.
Yes, he does. Now you have been sent a picture of John Legend where he doesn't look like a roll of toilet paper. He looks like he's...
I'm not saying... my point is he's soft and squishy, bro. There ain't nothing too hard about John Legend if you catch my drift.
Do you mean in terms of his
man
emotion?
The man is cute, all right? That's what John Legend is.
Do you think,
now, there's some women out there going to fight me on that, and I really don't like spending that much time on this side of things. You know what I'm saying?
We're I get you.
Judging these
but let me ask you this.
But dude is cute more than
do
sexy.
Do you think John Mayer is sexy?
I think his voice is probably John Legend voice. Women hear it and they go,
right,
oh, that's sexy.
He's a great singer. Great voice.
I told you, he don't sound like... I don't know how great it is.
John Mayer. Is John Mayer sexy to you?
I'm not fooling with your white man.
Is he? Because women go crazy over John Mayer. I'm asking. Do you think? I think John Mayer's a sexy guy. He would be considered
sexy. I'm not there. I'm not there on John Mayer. No.
Is he cute?
No. He's weird looking to me.
Weird looking?
Yeah. I know he's got plenty of women, John.
You got high standards, man.
I didn't realize you had this crush on John Mayer. I had no idea how you really felt about it.
Okay, so what we're learning from you today is that unless they look like Idris Elba, they are not sexy.
Michael B. Jordan.
Okay, so if you're not Idris Elba or Michael B. Jordan, you cannot be sexy. Is that
sure? Sure, you can. But sexiest in the world, sexiest in America. Like, come on, come on.
Do you think Channing Tatum is sexy?
You know who was sexy to me growing up? You ever see DC Cab? Women love Mr. T. Why?
Because Mr. T.
Because he had muscles.
You thought Mr. T was sexy?
Back in the '80s, Mr. T was a sex symbol. Are you kidding me?
Man, Mr. T.
Man, go watch Mr. T drive down the street, women falling over themselves.
Mr. T.
Big man. Big man.
I have no doubt that he had his day.
My point, you act how we come to these opinions and conclusions. My dudes got seem like they got to be
John Mayer ain't sexy, but Mr. T is.
That's 80s sexy, fool. Now we're talking about 2021 and 2020, and I'm telling you right now, it ain't John Legend.
Do you think Matthew McConaughey is sexy?
Probably to women, he is, right? And it's more, right? And dude can be muscular. He can be skinny. We've seen it all from Matthew.
Do you think...
I don't like this. I don't like this role you got me in.
Well, you're comfortable. You're comfortable. You're clearly not going to give me anything on the women's side of this, so I got to go to the men. You think it's faith or nothing. I mean, it's...
You think Penny Hardaway's sexy, fool? Let's turn the tables on you, and let's make it local. How sexy's Penny to you,
Penny
John?
Hardaway, I mean, he's almost 50 years old. You know?
What's that guy
Penny
doing?
Penny Hardaway's a handsome dude. Hardaway.
Yeah, I didn't want to hear. I want to know, do you think he's sexy? Because that's what you're asking me.
I won't say sexy.
I know my wife likes him.
I won't say sexy.
I think you like him, too.
I won't say sexy. I won't go there. But I think he's, for a 50-year-old man, congratulations to Penny, man. Holding up great. But yes, I think there's...
I was uncomfortable when this started. We're talking about Tiana. I'm uncomfortable now.
There's an honor.
I'm married. My wife is in my sexy category. There it is.
That's the only one. Well, good for you. But Tiana
and
Taylor.
And I need you to have a hand in that child's rearing.
Well, I certainly plan to.
That's
all right?
The other part.
I certainly plan to have.
Put the bow on this with that.
At least a little bit of input. Now, you have won, according to Twitter, you have won Husband of the Year. That is what you were clearly going for. And I hope it.
I was not going for Husband of the Year. I just told you the whole story about the belly chains, fool.
I mean, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, we asked you who you thought should win. You said Faith is the only woman in the world that is sexy
to me. I'd
be going
for a Husband of the Year if I knew she'd listen. This ain't going to get back to her. She ain't going to see anything. I'm not going to talk about it, so that ain't trying to win Husband of the Year.
You're trying to put out this image of you don't look at anybody else.
Well, I keep the blinders on, fool.
Man, stop. It's okay to say another woman is sexy as long as you don't do anything with that information. You know? It's okay. And we know you flogging anyway because you know we know who you like because you've talked about it. You just decided today ain't going to be the day. But
stay away from that temptation.
But anyway, Maxim 100, Tiana Taylor is the sexiest woman of the year.
I got one more.
Next story.
Watch this today. Berlinda Henning. I call her V. She's at Twitter, at VLJH. She probably knows. I mean, she's friends with John on Facebook. She's friends with just about everybody. We've seen her around forever. She's a Tiger season ticket holder. She's not just on Jeopardy, but she won in her first match yesterday on Jeopardy. Yesterday, going into the finals, she was second, ended up winning. I'm reading from Bifus's story over at the Commercial Appeal. The only contestant to correctly write who is Vivian Lee during the game show's final round defeated her two opponents. One of them apparently was talking a little ish, right? Or at least I'm paraphrasing there. But somebody with a ton of personality, apparently. Mm-hmm. Our Memphis woman won. Cameron had 17,400 to wager going into Final Jeopardy. Henning had 15,000. And then the third place guy, Derek Allen, had 11,000. She ends up being the only one with the correct answer and moves on. You know what it got me thinking about?
What's that?
And we're all pulling for you, V, to win again. Keep this thing going. Because you can win 5 straight days, right?
Yes.
Is that still the case?
I think so.
You ever seen White Man Can't Jump?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
Do you remember what Woody's woman, Rosie Perez, was trying to do?
I do not remember.
She was trying to get on Jeopardy. She was always studying to get on Jeopardy. And by the end of the show, guys, you don't remember White Man Can't Jump.
I remember the important
She made
parts.
It on there.
I remember the important
She
parts.
Made it on Jeopardy. All of it was the whole thing. She's reading the Jeopardy book. She's doing all this stuff. She's getting on there. And that's what it reminded me of, because when Rosie got on that thing, and God rest Alex Trebek's soul, he had a cameo in this thing, if I'm not mistaken. He's in that thing, too. It was like she really made Jeopardy.
Yep.
She got on that thing, and she absolutely shined. Kiwi, one of the answers. All this stuff, or whatever it was, Fruits That Start With Q, is an old movie,
mm-hmm.
But I remember it well, and that's what V winning yesterday reminded me of, was Rosie getting on that thing, and White Man Can't Jump, and shining. I've always thought, and this has come up before, that if there was a game show out there that I would be very good at, right, if I could get on, just get the chance,
mm-hmm.
Mine's The Price Is Right. I would make it to the Showcase Showdown. I would win the whole thing. It's because I've been watching it since I was a child. Hell, I watched it with my grandmother growing up because it would come on before her stories. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what stories are, right?
Yes.
What?
Soap operas.
Thank you. I'm surprised by that, but I'm happy you're still with me.
General Hospital was the one in our house.
Young and the Restless was right after Price is Right, so we go right into that. Right after Price is Right. But point was, that's where I got my start on game shows with grandma watching that. And I'm, hell, you know that for a trip, and it gone, inflation's affected things a little bit, but you can round things off. And it was real easy to get to Showcase Showdown. Okay, that trip's $2,500. That car's probably about $19,000 at that point. You throw in a little inflation, and you're still good at the Price is Right. I have no question that if I got called down, and listen, we've talked about this. You want to have a T-shirt, right? The platter's the host and all that stuff. That's how those producers pick you.
You would wear
if I ever get my chance, I'd be on there. I would shine. Gentlemen, is there
you
one
would wear
for
the
you
demonic
all?
Dads against depression?
Yeah, that would get me on.
That would.
Drew Carey really know how to handle that food. I always wanted to be on with Bob, the great, the goat.
Well, that's you can't.
Right, I know. I always did, though.
How about this? Our man Chris McCullough, who's a loyal advertiser of our show here, loyal sponsor of the show, he's going to be on Family Feud.
What?
Yeah, Chris McCoy is going to be on Family. He's going to Atlanta on July 4th.
That's another one that I've always felt like if the family got on there, we would do well.
Yeah, yeah. So he's going to be doing that. He was supposed to be on there last year, but unfortunately, COVID.
So isn't April his sister?
I believe so. Yes,
she going to be on too.
I don't know.
Because you have to have your family.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. I can't say for sure, but I think so. I think that is true. And also, really cool thing. We were talking about the Memphian Verlinda, who is on Jeopardy again.
3:30 today.
Today at 3:30, she shared this on Facebook, and I don't think she would have any problem with me sharing this because she made it public. But she put on Twitter, "What's on my mind?" or on Facebook, "What's on my mind today, June 8th? I'm remembering my husband Daryl, who died on June 8th, 1999.
Wow.
You don't get over loss, but you do get through it and come out on the other side thanks to the support of family and many loving friends."
She's so uplifting, man. I think that's why we all know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At some point, she's come across your timeline wishing you, you know, good tidings or to help you get up out of something.
That's right.
And she's clearly been through some things herself.
Absolutely.
It's only the best of us.
Yes.
Right after you've been through something that look to lift others up. And I've always thought that of Verlinda. So happy. I mean, nobody more deserving of a shot like this than her. Than somebody who looks to lift us all up. Hell, doesn't even know half of us.
Yep.
But she just goes out of her way to do those
things. So I guess that means she's banked, what, $18,000? Is that true then?
If that's what she won yesterday and she's moving on,
she certainly has that much to play with. I don't know if that's...
She's the only one that had the right answer yesterday. So she went. I just don't know what she put. I didn't see the final Jeopardy. I don't know what she put in terms of betting on that $15,000. I don't know what she added to it.
My game show,
my
by
guess
the way,
is she's over 20. She won over $20,000 yesterday.
My game show would
be in the story, and I'm
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I would want to do that one because one-on-one, you know, you get real TV time. You can phone a friend. Like, it's that, you know, it's people go crazy over that one. So I would, and you can win $1 million. I'd probably win like $64,000, but I would certainly, I'd like to be on that show.
What's that show, the new one? I have a hard time with new game shows.
The Cube.
That one's Dwayne Wade, right?
Yeah.
I still haven't watched that. But the one LeBron is executive producer on, it's like The Wall.
I haven't seen that one.
And it's got our guy that's from Memphis as the host. I think it's The Wall.
The floor is lava?
No. What are you talking about? No, it's called The Wall. That's a kid's game show.
No, it's not.
The floor is lava? Yeah, it is. I don't, you know, I watch it, but it's whatever. No, it's
not on a Disney channel,
listen
dude.
Listen to me. Listen to me and focus. It's tough sometimes. Chris Hardwick. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He's game show host out of Memphis. The show he did with Jenny McCarthy a while back, was it like Singled Out or something? Anyway, I'm pretty sure he's on The Wall, okay? And LeBron is like the executive producer. You don't see him, but it's basically these balls dropping down.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that just reminds me of Plinko from The Price is Right. Like, it's hard not to win on those ball dropping
Everything
things.
Just comes back to Price is Right for you.
Well, that's where it all started, John, in terms of game shows for me. But Love Connection was good back in the day.
Yeah.
We're talking about some old game shows.
We have so many game
Remember,
shows.
Remember Tic Tac, was it Tic Tac Toe with my man Wink Martindale,
yeah, that was
who
good.
Also Memphian?
Yep.
Always comes back to Memphis.
I know, it really does. But we'll be pulling certainly for our friend Verlinda from Memphis. Keep rapping for us. We'll be pulling for you here in town. Breaking news, Mike Conley out for the Utah Jazz game 1. So you will not be seeing Mike Conley. Hamstring issue that we saw you know, happen against
he
the Grizzlies.
He seemed worried by it and certainly frustrated, but
that
he seemed
is not
worried
good.
About it.
And hamstrings are tough. You know, we've seen, you know, Tony Allen, of course.
James Harden missed a month.
Yep. And he's out with that right now.
I mean, same hamstring.
So you're dealing with that. And I wonder, is it the shortened season? Who knows? But tough break for Mike Conley. Hopefully he'll be able to eventually get in there for the Jazz. And that makes life a lot tougher because he was awesome.
And lead them to the finals, according to you.
He was awesome against the Grizzlies. Like, he was a stone-cold killer against the Grizzlies. And they're going to miss him. They're going to miss his shooting. There's no doubt about that. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jessica Benson going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.5 ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Our man Chris McCauley is getting ready for Family Feud, but that will not keep him from fixing your roof. That will not keep him from getting out to your house and assessing damage. I mean, what's better than having a future Family Feud winner working on your roof? Not to mention great care that he's going to take of you and your home. That's what he did for me about a year ago. I was worried, man. I was nervous. Nervous purvis. Got a leak, water all through my floor. Man, how much is this going to cost? The answer? Nothing. That's because I went with Chris McCauley of McCauley Roofing and Renovations. He'll do the same for you. When he comes out, make sure you let him know you heard about him on the Jason and John Show. It's very important that you say that because he's going to throw in a free roofing upgrade.
Yeah, don't just help us in terms of referrals and all that, right? You want to do a good job for Chris. It helps you too. Like John said, get a free roofing upgrade. Who doesn't like free? In 2021 or any year. Call them up, 901-487-7096. They're only voted most popular roofing company by Memphis Most. It's because of the honesty. It's because of the job they do. Price he's going to charge is going to be the right price. You're not going to charge for some huge issue if you've just got some shingles missing. It's a small problem. And listen, small problem, they'll still handle that too. Not just the big roofing issues. So again, 487-7096. Man, going to be on there with Steve Harvey on Family Feud.
That's right.
McCauley Roofing and Renovations.
I can already hear Steve Harvey just remarking about Chris's size. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I can already, like, hear him. What is Steve's thing? Man, I got to tap back into it.
You know? Said it's when somebody says something silly or something.
He makes everything something. Seem silly. That's what it is. He has a penchant for making every answer sound
You say penchant?
Yeah, penchant,
okay.
Whatever.
Okay. Penchant.
He has a way of sort of making everything sound ludicrous. You know, like,
sometimes with just a look, right?
Yeah, he'll be like,
looking to the, he knows right where that camera is.
He'd be like, Mike Conley missed game one of the Western Conference semifinals with what? And then somebody will say, knee. And then Steve would be like,
John's mouth is
staring at the camera.
John's mouth is dropped open for those of us that can't see.
He says knee.
Simulcast. It's not.
You know what I'm saying? It's like not even a ridiculous answer, but he'll make it sound like you just said something, the dumbest thing ever. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just his shtick, and I appreciate that.
They do like, what's the sexiest part of a woman's body?
Uh huh.
And somebody after they've gone through the main answer, somebody will say foot. You know what I'm saying? Or
yeah.
Just something like that. And then Steve's whole thing will be. This man, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
He will make a fool of you.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try to do it.
No,
because it's his own. It's his signature. You do a better Steve
Harvey like,
than me.
He'll be like, this weirdo says feet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like.
He got a fetish.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's him.
He might like
so
sometimes.
Chris got to be, you know, got to be aware of that
sometimes
going
sometimes he'll
in.
Like, he'll stop.
Can't give him no extra.
He'll lean over and he'll just look at him like in pause and shake his head. And then he'll just turn back. I mean, look, it's just like it's his gimmick. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think he's fantastic on it. Quite frankly,
who was it before him?
Oh, the guy that was in the one that we remember is it? Well,
it was Anderson was on there for
a while.
Before,
Louis Damn. Anderson, who was not. I'll just be real honest. Was not great.
Not good. He was terrible. There was
Richard Dawson.
Richard
that
Dawson
was the legend
was,
for us growing
yeah,
up. Okay,
he was the lead. The
and
goat.
Wasn't he in the Running Man? Like with mm-hmm. remember that old Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? He was like the bad
yeah.
guy. He was.
What is your problem
show?
With Louis Anderson? Man?
Well, Richard always.
I love Louis. Been around. He was in Coming to America. He's on the Fries. Great scene with Louis Anderson. I just thought on that game show. Not he doesn't even come close to Steve Harvey. So they did a good
Richard got a little handsy with the contestants. He would always put his hands on the women.
Oh, Dawson would get kisses and
yeah.
all that kind of
ridiculously
stuff.
Ridiculously
like,
handsy.
Like being in that final.
Stuff you would get canceled for.
He would put his arm around some yeah. of them women in the final.
Yeah.
In the final.
Yeah, real handsy.
Yeah. That's Dawson had to be careful. But
yeah.
the women loved him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think Harvey's right up there with him.
That's our man Chris McCulley is going to help you with your roof, and then he's going to get on down to Atlanta for the taping of Family Feud.
And win big.
Nothing better
always,
than that.
Their prizes have always needed to be better, though. Like, how do you win one car for a family of five?
That's right. We were talking earlier today about the connection of Larry Brown. I've heard Larry Brown's name linked to the Memphis basketball staff, openings on the staff.
Again.
Yep. One Mogian. And... It didn't go through last time, Larry Brown to Memphis, because Tom Bowen was resistant to it. I think, again, they had their reasons, not saying they were right or wrong, but they had their reasons for why they weren't in favor of it.
And I had forgotten it, but Tom was willing to let him be a consultant, but
yes.
Larry wouldn't take
correct.
That.
But correct.
I had forgotten that part of the
And look,
story.
I can understand. Yeah. I really do. I mean, I wouldn't have done it, but I can understand your thinking. You know, you got a first-year head coach who is still very new to the rules of the NCAA, the ins and outs.
Almost want to protect him from himself.
Exactly. Do you really want to sort of double down on that? And look, Memphis got to where it got anyway. They're in the midst of an IARP investigation that's going to wrap up, you know, at some point in the next few months. And we'll know. We'll know the fate. We'll mm-hmm. know the fate of Memphis basketball in the next, you know, the next that they told us, what, March? It was going to be 12 months?
Yeah.
So
about
within
a, about
12
a month
months.
Ago, it's
and
like
Memphis was the first one in.
Check that. Yeah.
Memphis was the first one into the IRIP, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, there, you have to think there's going to come first. NC State, I think Kansas, you know, LSU. There's some others, but you know, the difference now, I think, is A. You already have the IRIP investigation, right? So it's like, what are you protecting yourself from? And B, like Memphis needs to win. Memphis needs to produce. Memphis and NIT championship is great. We gave you the banner. You got the, you know, Memphis football didn't get a state legislature, you know, dedication when they won the bowl game, but we did that for the NIT. That's fine. No problem.
Oh, it's a national championship.
What?
It's a national championship. I know where you're
man.
At. I have my feelings on that too. Whatever.
I guess.
It look. You're looking forward to be a stepping.
Field,
we all
man.
Say Cal when he won it was a stepping stone.
I know,
why can't
but
it be
it was
for
at
Penny?
Least a real field.
It'd be one thing if you felt like that was the ceiling.
Teams
you feel like that's
out
the floor.
Of the NIT. Whatever. We don't need to go back over this. What's important and what is true is that Memphis needs to win more than the NIT. They need to win get to the NCAA tournament. They need to, you know, advance the second weekend. They have to start making noise again. This program has been out of the NCAA tournament since 2013-14. That is way too long. It's way too long.
I think the appropriate way to look at this thing is, okay, rewind it. Penny wanted to bring Larry Brown in first. Right,
yep.
That's what he wanted, and Larry wanted it to be in a coaching role. Tom Bowen didn't want to do it in a coaching role, but was willing to do it as a consultant.
Yep.
How, if Larry Brown is not going to be around the academic side, compliance side, right, or whatever that is, and not going to be around recruiting, and we're talking about an on-court role where it's coaching, practice, and games, how's that different than being a consultant? You're just doing it in person and doing it during games. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He's a consultant in this case. But with the assistant coach title that he'll be, okay, in your the Lori Walton, he'll be coaching again, and I got to imagine that's got to be part of it. You're not dealing with the academics of these kids or whether or not they're going to get qualified or what you can do to get them qualified. He's not dealing with picking the kids out if that's the case, because Penny Hardaway's done, you know, he's been saying it of late. He knows what he wants in terms of the kinds of players. He doesn't need Larry's help on that.
Correct.
Penny's going to bring in guys he wants. That's yep. It's his program. And so how's it different, frankly, than a consulting role in the sense that basically you're an on-court consultant?
I mean, that's a good point.
You're not dealing with any of the inner workings that have gotten him in trouble in the past. So that's the key.
It's a very good point.
And if I'm Laird, once I'm past that, if that's what Penny presents me, and here's Larry right here, yep. And here's what he's staying away from, I don't see where the no could be. You know what I'm saying? I don't
agreed.
See how you can't say, you know what, this is Penny, this is the move you want to make. I trust you with your program. You know, you've wanted this for a while. Let's go ahead and get it done. Again, if you're telling me he's not going to be doing A, B, and C, but just be doing D, I don't see how you're not down with that.
I completely agree. I am in so much favor of this decision.
It's an on-court consultant.
I would damn near be disappointed if it doesn't happen. I would damn near – I mean, you know I wanted it 3 years ago. You gave me a hard time over it, as a joke, of course. But I think
you're going to have Larry out on the road and stuff. I've seen Larry on the road. The road's passed him by.
Well, that was your opinion, you know, at the time.
You'll put him right back out there then, John.
You brushed shoulder. We'll never forget the tweet. We'll never forget the tweet.
I've already forgotten it. What the hell are you talking about?
You tweeted, I mean, this is how disrespectful this man is. A lot of people think, you know, and in some ways you are a stand-up guy, but you have your moments.
I said some ways. You stand up all the way around.
Well, we'll let the people decide.
How many Diet Dr. Peppers I'm bringing today?
We'll let the people decide.
How stand-up is that?
You just wanted a good show out of me, man. This was a bribe. This was a bribe to give me to mention Larry Brown's name.
What did I tweet, fool? Because I don't even remember it.
You said,
but it scarred you, apparently. Larry don't know what the hell I tweeted. I guarantee you he wasn't aware.
Somebody told him, but you tweeted something along the lines
of... This is when he was still SMU coach.
Yes.
And I remember it now.
Yeah, you said, I still can't believe that Larry Brown is the coach at SMU. Or you like something along the lines of, I still don't know, I still can't figure out why.
Because he hadn't done anything at that point. And did he end up getting him in trouble?
Here it is.
I was walking behind him coming out of the Peace Jam, and the man was taking forever.
July 12th, 2013, bruh.
Yeah,
always
that's
receipts.
Peace Jam. That's Peace
and
Jam.
And you were still on Echo Phone.
I can't get off Echo
man
Phone.
Man is loyal. May said, I look at Larry Brown with his SMU gear on, and I say to myself,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.